and Answers begins right now.
Jesus commanded all believers to go and make disciples of all the nations. For the disciple of Christ, discipleship begins at home with our children. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Today, Pat and his guest, Dr. Randy Manley, pastor of Molokai Baptist Church, discuss biblical principles to raise children who will become disciples and disciple makers for Christ's kingdom. Now, let's begin. Here's our host, Pat.
You're listening to Evidence and Answers, where we provide compelling evidence for faith and hope in Christ and biblical answers to the issues of today. Well, parenting is more important than ever before, and the Bible exhorts us throughout the Old and New Testament for parents to raise their children in the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And that's more challenging than ever before. And to help us address this issue and give us some insights into parenting and discipling children is Dr. Randy Manley. Dr. Manley is pastor of the Molokai Baptist Church, a fantastic church. If you're in Hawaii, Molokai is a terrific island to go to, a treasure a lot of people don't know about. And if you're there, you want to stop off and visit Molokai Baptist. He's been pastoring there faithfully for over 25 years. He received his doctorate from Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I am also a fellow alumni there. So, Randy, welcome back to Evidence and Answers.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, before we begin, just a brief, people get to know you a little bit. You're not from the islands originally. You're from the East Coast. Tell us what brought you to the island of Molokai.
Yeah, I am actually from South Florida. I grew up in Miami. And long story, so I'll just make it as short as I can. I did my undergraduate at Liberty University. And while I was there, I got involved with a group that came over to the islands to do youth ministry in the summertime. And so that was my first exposure to Hawaii. And I liked it, but I had no intention or desire to even live there. You know, we get from people all the time, "Oh, wow, Hawaii, you must have been dying to get there. Palm trees and water." And it's like, no, I grew up in South Florida. I had palm trees and ocean. I didn't really need that. But the pastor that was here at the church before we came, they had some health issues in their family. They had to move back to the mainland. I was just finishing seminary at that time. And they asked, "Hey, would you come and pastor the church here?" And our initial response was, "No, you know, we believe that this is where God wants us, right here in South Florida." But that was not what God wanted for us. That's what I wanted for me. And over a period of about a year and a half to 2 years, God worked on us. And we came to a point and believed that God did want us on Molokai. And we thought we would be here for a couple of years, just helping the church kind of get back on its feet after not having a pastor for a while. And 28 years later, here we still are. So,
yeah, quite a story. A lot of people may not know just how difficult a transition is to go from the mainland United States to a place like Oahu here, Honolulu. And but then it's even harder for, you know, Molokai. So it's quite a transition you folks made there. Well, we're talking about discipling children today, and bringing children into the world is a huge responsibility. But, you know, Randy, I was studying, and as I've been speaking in churches all over the country, especially here in the United States, churches are filled with single parents. And I'm just, when I'm at social gatherings, talking to people who, you know, aren't necessarily Christian, a lot of them are single parents and they don't have a very high view of marriage. Yeah. A Pew Research Center study reveals that the United States has the world's highest rate of children living in single parent households, about 23%. That's almost a quarter of the households here in the United States. 23% of children under the age of 18 live in one parent households. That's more than three times the rate of children around the world. I mean, you do a comparative study, 3% of the children in China live in a single parent home, 4% of children in Nigeria, and 5% of children in India live in a single parent household. So we live in a culture downplaying the necessity of marriage. A few years ago, when I was single, I was playing golf. And, you know, one of the young men there, I think in his 30s, asked me, so how many children you got? And I said, well, I'm not married. And he said, you're not being married to have children. I got three and I'm married, you know?
Yeah.
Just the casualness of bringing a child into the world and the responsibility of not being in a committed marriage.
Yeah.
You know, with the culture downplaying the necessity of marriage, why is it important that a couple, you know, first be married in raising children?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I do in premarital counseling is somewhere along the line, we talk about, you know, why are you getting married? And of course, the initial and most popular answer to that is, well, we're in love. And that's great. You know, it's great that you love each other. Certainly you want to be in love if you're going to get married. There's also two other things that are involved in that. There's kind of this three-pronged approach to marriage. There's love, certainly. There's also commitment. Commitment to saying, look, I'm all in and I'm giving all of me to you. When two people do that, there's a bond that takes place, right? And that's why it's important, I believe, that's why it's important to do it in front of witnesses, because you're saying, hey, we want you to know that we're committing to each other. We're all in for each other. When you say, I do, you're also saying, I don't to everybody else. I do to you, but I don't to everybody else that's out there. So there's this beauty of commitment that we've lost in all facets of our society today, right? Commitment involves selflessness many times. And we are a very self-focused society. So we've lost a lot with regard to commitment. The other prong of that three-pronged idea is obedience. We are called by God to be in these committed relationships. When I don't marry, when I'm in a relationship for all the benefits but won't commit, there's going to be fallout from that. There's going to be destructive things that take place, maybe not right away, and maybe not even necessarily with the couple. But when you have children involved, you're sending messages to those children that, in the very least, commitment isn't all that important. Certainly, obedience to God isn't all that important. And I would argue that you've even distorted the definition of love in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Randy, there's a tremendous security that's really important for the child to have, knowing Absolutely. That mom and dad are in a committed relationship for a lifetime. Now, hopefully it doesn't end in separation, but just having that security of knowing that mom and dad are in it for a lifetime, they're going to be there with us, good, bad, and ugly. They've made that commitment. There's a tremendous, and that's really important for a child to have growing up, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, again, so much of this in my experience and estimation comes back to a man who will commit himself to this woman, you know, and it all goes back to the garden, right? That God gave Adam the task to be the guardian of the garden. And I'm certainly not a gardener or a farmer. And yet God's given me a garden to protect and to provide for. And that's my family and my wife first, then my children. And you're right, there's a security that comes with that. Hey, our garden is being protected by the gardener, so to speak. And when a child is in a situation where they feel like mom and dad love each other and they're committed to each other and there's not a fear that they're going to separate or be apart, that gives them great relief. And it provides an atmosphere of being able to raise children in a better situation.
Yeah, you know, Randy, I speak in so many churches where couples are living together and they got children. I was in a church maybe last year speaking on Father's Day, and I talked about the importance of fathers and marriage and being committed and all of that. And I talked about one of the destructive things in our culture is cohabitation. And suddenly you saw like every jaw drop in the church. And it was one of those moments where I knew I had stepped on a landmine here. And I continued on. And when the service was over, you know, someone came up and let me have it, because in their church are couples living together who've never been married. And I looked at the leader and I said, "You ever addressed this issue before?" And of course, he never did. He was afraid they would leave the church or something. What do you have to say to that pastor and those couples who may be living together but claiming to be disciples of Christ?
You know, I come across those situations more often than I used to. It always is puzzling to me. I'll have a couple come for marital counseling or different situations, and I find out they've been together 10, 12, 13 years. They have multiple children together, and I find out they're not married. And so my first question is always the same thing. Is like, why not? Why aren't you married? And you get various answers, but the predominant thing that comes back is they're not really sure.
You know?
We're not really sure if this is going to work out. We're not really sure. You know, the guy will say, "Well, I want to make sure I can provide for them. And I'm not really sure that." And it's like, you know, I chuckle when they tell me that. And I tell them about my, you know, I've been married 36 years now. And I said, "Guess what? I wasn't sure either when I stepped into it. I wasn't sure if I could be the kind of husband that God wanted me to be. I wasn't sure how we were going to make it financially." Life is full of I'm not sures. But the reality is, if you love an individual, you'll commit to that individual. Mm-hmm. And so my challenge is always, first, again, to the man, look, have you ever asked this woman to marry you? And I've found out, and again, in the experience that I've had over the years, is that most of the time, the woman's waiting for the guy. Mm. She's just waiting for him to commit to this whole deal. Not, that's not always the case, but most of the time, that's what I found out. And I also go from this angle too, Pat. I'll say, look, do you believe that God has good things for you? And again, the predominant answer to that is, yeah, I do believe that. Do you believe that God has a plan to give you the best things that he has for you? And again, most people will agree, yeah, I think that that's true. And I said, look, God has a plan for you as a couple, and that is this marital commitment. And if you will commit to that, he's got blessing for you that you can't tap into right now because you're not being obedient to it. And so many times they'll see that and understand that. What I would tell a pastor is that, again, do you want best for the people that you minister to? Mm-hmm. Is marriage God's best plan? Then I would encourage you to do everything that you can to get the people that God has given you to shepherd to be in the best place where he can bless them. Again, I think as we understand who God is and what he has for us, then we'll want to follow his best because we want his best in our lives.
Yeah, that's great advice, you know. And before we start talking specifically about discipling children, what can you say to the single parent who is out there? Maybe they're single not by choice, or perhaps the spouse has passed on, or whatever the situation may be. What can you say to the single parent as we start addressing this issue?
Yeah, I'd say God bless you for one thing. You know, it's hard enough to raise children with a family intact. But if you're a single parent, God's got some special grace for you. I believe that. I also believe that it's very important that you don't try to be both parents. You know, I've had single parents tell me before, "Hey, I'm trying to be father and mother." And I would say, stop. God hasn't called you. If you're a single mom, he hasn't called you to be a dad. If you're a single dad, he hasn't called you to be a mom. You be the best mom you can be or the best dad you can be. But don't think that God's expecting you to be both parents, because that's impossible. You cannot be both parents. I would also say, be super involved in your church family. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a single mom, you need dads in your kids' lives. They won't be their dad, but they'll be examples of hopefully godly men, godly dads who can take them under their wing and helped to give them a portrait and a picture of what a man, a godly man looks like, a godly dad looks like. Same if you're a single dad, be in a place where there's moms that will be an example and a nurturer to your children. You know, we have a couple of situations like that in our church, and we try to encourage our guys, man, go out of your way. Love on these kids that are from single parent homes. We encourage our moms, make sure that you're including these kids in on certain things. They need those examples.
Yeah, and you make a good point. We're spending a lot of time on parenting here, but you said there's a place for a mom and a dad, you know, and the culture, there's a movement that wants to remove those titles and just say parents. But God has created marriage for one man, one woman, with distinct roles. It doesn't mean being a mom is inferior, you know, or that being a dad makes you some kind of chauvinist or oppressor. God created distinctive roles of mom and dad, mother and father. Tell us why that's important to have those roles clear.
Well, there's so many things that if you look at a healthy family, and you look at a biblical family, you understand that coming at parenting from different personalities and different angles as men and women. Frankly, I would make a terrible mother. My wife is amazing in so many ways as a mom, and I could never do what she does and wouldn't even attempt to. And I think she would agree that she makes a terrible dad. There's a sense of strength, a sense of, again, protection that should come from a man that children feel safe with. There's a sense of nurturing and caring that a woman provides in a unique and different way that a man can't provide. And so you put those combination of things together and you get this more complete picture of what is needed to, again, I'll go back to the garden idea, to grow these little plants into full-on trees bearing fruit.
Yeah, great. Well, we spent a lot of time on parenting here because that's important in this whole process. And we're talking about discipleship now, discipling children. What does it mean to make disciples or discipleship? What does that mean?
Well, you know, we hear that word thrown around a lot, and I do think it's important that we understand, we define our terms. In the New Testament word for disciple simply means a follower. Jesus had 12 distinct disciples or followers that he called to follow him. And basically, he was in that process telling them, go where I go, do what I do, say what I say. Say what I do, you know, those kind of things. A disciple, when we talk about discipling anybody, we're talking about helping to form them into followers of Christ. Paul put it this way. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So what he was saying is, look, I want you to know what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. So come on with me, follow me, and we'll do this thing together. So when we talk about discipling our children, what we're talking about is raising followers of Jesus, raising them to be children that will one day be adults that understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yes. And so tell us, why is it important that we disciple children? You know, we talk about raising children, but you say there's an importance and a need to disciple children. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it, right? We're given that proverb, that idea that, look, what you invest in your children now are what they're going to be running on later on. Well, what is it that they're getting? Well, they're not going to get a whole lot of Bible or God or salvation or any of those types of things in the world. I mean, we know that they're going to be getting a whole lot of things that go contrary to all of that. And so training them or discipling them is a matter of, you know, going back to things that we talked about before, building a biblical worldview into our children. You know, one of the recent surveys has pointed out that 67% of adults under the age of 40 still can't identify what their purpose in life is. I mean, that's drastic if you stop and think about it. That's way over 50% of our 40 and younger people are walking around not knowing why they're even here. That kind of stat just to me screams that somebody was not investing in them as a child to tell them who they are as an amazing image bearer of God who does have significance and purpose in life. Within that same group, that 67%, there was 22% of them that aren't even sure that life is significant at all. You know, and then we wonder why we have the mental health crisis that we have today, right? And all of that goes back to what is the foundation? What is being invested in our children? What are they running on later on in life? What we train them on is what they'll run on later on in life.
Yeah. So, you know, Randy, tell us what are some of the key ingredients involved in discipling a child?
Well, that's another really good question, Pat, because I think a lot of times what we think is I need to have some kind of curriculum or I need to have, you know, this organized teaching time with my children. I used to think that when I heard about this idea of discipling kids, it just kind of popped into my mind that, you know, I needed a whiteboard and some curriculum to teach them. That's not what it's about. It's there will be some more formal kind of times that we spend with our kids, for instance, reading the right kind of books with them, reading scripture with them, you know, it's a little bit more formal and talking to them about what that scripture means. But discipleship with children comes a lot by, as we do life, pointing out specific things about this God we say we believe in. What happens too many times, I think, in Christian homes is that our kids are raised in church and they begin to compartmentalize life. I'm a Christian, but I'm really only focused on being a Christian or a follower of Jesus on Sunday or youth group night or, you know, whatever Christian event is going on. Instead of them understanding, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ every day of the week. And everything that I experience has something to do with the reality of this God who made me, right? So as parents, incorporating those kind of ideas into our children come with simple things. Like when you go to the beach and you're watching a sunset and you're going, man, isn't that incredible? Isn't that beautiful? And your kids are like, yeah, that's amazing. And talking about, isn't God an amazing God that he would give us something as colorful and majestic as a sunset? He didn't have to do that. That demonstrates not only that he's a God that can create these beautiful things, but he loves us enough that he's given us this beauty that we can experience together. And then when we start taking everyday kind of things and relating that back to this God who made us and has a plan and a purpose for us, it begins to build into our kids this reality that I'm a follower of Jesus all the time, not just certain days of the week. This God that is being taught to me is a God who is ever present and ever involved in my life. And I think that's the important thing about discipling our children is incorporating him into our lives.
Yeah, you know that old saying, Christianity is more caught than taught.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zuckerman.